Hey, hey, what's up, bitches? Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your host, Brandon Lynette. If you are not already doing so, make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And then your price of admission is to kind of share and leave a review. And by kind of share, I mean give this link to everybody you know. Whether you're on Apple or Spotify, it's a quick click and share, okay? Text it to your mom, text it to your cousin, text it to your baby mama. I don't give a fuck. But make sure that you are sharing this podcast, especially if you are finding value in it. Okay. It is Monday. So we're going to talk about Microdose Monday. I hope you guys had an incredible weekend. I definitely filled my time up significantly. The new podcast launches today. So if you have not already found that and subscribe, make sure you do. You're going to find that at Two Truths and a Lie by Brandon Lynette on Apple or Spotify. I hope. I haven't uploaded it to Audioboom yet, and there is a little bit of approval that has to go through, so let's hope that that works out. But I got a lot of shit done this weekend. I feel very accomplished and ready to take on the week. It feels good, and part of what is helping me be able to tackle all the things and to just stay committed to my end game and make sure that I am, you know, utilizing every moment of the day that's available to me, I microdose. And we do talk about this every Monday because I think it's important to educate people. If you do not follow me on Facebook, I want you to go to my Facebook page right now. My page, I have an author page, and then I have my personal profile. Okay. My personal profile, that's Brandon Lynette. I want you to go on there because you guys can actually see a list of people. If you are from Michigan, you can see a list of everybody that we need to be calling this week. I sent some emails last week, but tomorrow I'm actually going to make phone calls. And I guess it would be today for you. It's Monday. It's Monday, bitch. Okay. So let's make some phone calls. Let's get on the horn about this because we are entitled to nature. Like, nature is our right. And guess what? Psilocybin, it's natural. It's not lab made, lab created. There's no chemicals in it. Do I think that there can be a whole sense of irresponsibility with it? Absolutely. I think people take advantage, and that's okay. People are going to do that. Okay. Rules are meant to be broken. Everyone's going to push the boundaries, but here's the truth. Drugs are illegal, and I promise people are doing them consistently, and that's up to them. It's a personal choice. But I feel like the more we talk about it and the more we spread awareness on what microdosing can do for people, I think the more serious people are going to take it. And it's just a matter of hitting them at the right point in time in their lives where they're like, oh shit, this might be something that benefits me. I've told you guys a lot about how it benefits me, but I just kind of want to go through a scenario, a possible scenario of what your life could be like for the past 6 months. Okay. Literally, it takes all of your energy to get your ass out of bed. All of it. You're moaning, you're groaning, you're not moving. You don't want to do this. It takes all your energy. And then you still have to shower. You have to eat breakfast. You have to drive to work. You have to do the things. Still exhausted. You're going to come home. You're going to drink your six pack. You're going to drink your wine. You're going to drink your martini, whatever your vice is. You're going to eat dinner and you're going to go to bed. You're going to get up and do that all over again. And you're just going to keep doing that. And you're going to be on the hamster wheel of shit. Okay. You're going to be on the hamster wheel of shit, literally. And you remember a time that you had a life. You remember a time that you were social. Your body, your mind is going to keep going back to that. Remember, I had so much fun doing this. Remember, you know, I used to hang out with Mary and Janice and we had so much fun and it was great. And like, you're just going to keep going back because you hate your present. You don't have energy to think about your future, and it's not your business anyway. We just, that's a whole different thing. You're not in the present moment. You are literally checked the fuck out. Okay. You were dating someone, your weekends were fun, all of that. And right now you can't even remember the last time you went to go see a friend, the last time you hung out with your spouse and enjoyed some adult time. You give excuses when people call. You don't want to deal with them. You're living a hermit life. Literally. You're not out there dating. You're not trying to find the significant other. You're not working on yourself. You're depressed. You're depressed and you have shut anyone and everyone out 100%. And you can't put your finger on it. It doesn't make sense to you because you're healthy. You know, you have no reason, no literal obvious reason to not feel good. bitch, depression is real. I've had the most amazing things happen in my life. And in those seasons, I was literally depressed. People would tell me all the time, it doesn't make sense. I would tell myself, it doesn't make sense. Depression doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And it catches us off guard and then it sucks us in. And we have to fight like hell to like get out of the wet paper bag, right? You're depressed. And it's that you keep going back. You aren't bringing yourself to this current moment. There doesn't have to be a cause, okay? You're driving, you're pissed off, you're angry, you're feeling aggressive. You're just waiting for someone to fight you, okay? Your coworkers try to talk to you and all you're thinking is like, just shut the fuck up. Well, I guess some of us still feel like that at work and it's okay. It's okay. Sometimes peopling is too much. That's fine. But I'm talking, this is obsessive. Like there is no peace in your life. And just every night you get home and you're tired, you're exhausted. And then you're going to continue the cycle of drinking alcohol or doing the drugs or doing your vice or whatever it is. You're making money. You're successful. All the things. You go see a doctor. The doctor's like, ooh, why don't you take some antidepressants? And then all of a sudden, you're numb. You're numb. You're not even depressed. You're just numb. And you have no desire to do anything. Anything. But this time, you're not questioning it. You're just numb. You're numb. Imagine you see someone talking about psilocybin and you're like, fuck it. I'm just going to try it. Because literally, I'm going to ask you, what do you have to lose? If you've tried everything and you still find yourself in the rat race of everything, what do you have to lose? And this is the thing, like results are not immediate. They're not immediate. I feel like my husband talks about he gets this warm feeling in his chest. And I feel the same thing, like a little bit warm, I guess, is the feeling I could say. That's the only thing I feel. There's no other real shift, nothing obvious. But if you don't have an expectation to feel something drastic, dramatic, like it's not going to be like, you know, the shots of vodka, it's not going to hit you like this and you're going to feel some kind of way. It's not like, you know, smoking weed, which I absolutely can't stand. Okay. I can't breathe. I feel like there's a wet blanket on my head. I hate that feeling. Hate it. You don't get any sort of not feeling like yourself moment, but it's very slow. And if you stick with it, it takes some time, especially if you're like, maybe this is something you want to use to stop drinking or to get control of your life. If you can just give yourself enough faith in the fact that this is going to work for you, a couple weeks later, your whole life will have shifted and you're not going to understand. We're talking, let's get 10 days in and something strange happens. Okay. All of a sudden you don't feel like drinking and you don't miss it. You just don't want to do it. And you don't know what to do with yourself, right? Because this is a normal habit. And then, you know, a couple nights go by and you're like, man, I'm not drinking anymore. So how should I fill my time? And then you think, oh my gosh, I should start a podcast. Imagine that. Or I should work on that book. Or I should call my girlfriends. Or I should call that guy that I've been wanting to go out with. You don't really catch on to it until you start to come into an awareness and you're like, holy shit, my life has shifted. Okay. And if you are someone who insists on being a victim for your entire life, don't bother. Okay. Like this podcast isn't even for you anyway. So I don't think you're really here. I don't think there's anyone out there that really wants to generally be a victim. I want you to take control of your life and I want you to get your ass in the present moment and become aware of what you could do right now to feel your best 100%. And the thing is, you can get out of depression without microdosing. Okay. And legit, sometimes those prescriptions save lives. I've been on antidepressants in a season of my life that nothing was going to help. I needed that numbness. I did. And then there's a point where you realize like you want to feel. That's what we chose when we chose this life. We wanted the emotional experience. That's why we wanted to be human. I can't say that microdosing is going to make you the life of the party, but I guarantee it's not going to be so hard to talk to people. We are literally, God says, get out there, have relationships, do the things, get with your people. Okay. People are our jam. I spent my whole life hating them. I still do sometimes. That's the truth. This is not going to be a, you know, one size fits all cure all. Okay. You're still going to struggle. But the truth is, I am loving and being open and more vulnerable to letting people in. I'm not completely healed. I think I'm going to take a lifetime of trying to heal those things, but I am enjoying the journey. I love where I'm at now. I love that I can have the conversations. You're going to have more energy. 100%. You're going to have more energy. Your head is going to feel clear. Those anxious feelings you have because like you're frozen and you're worried about everything. You're probably not going to do that day that you should do. You keep your fight or flight going and it's on overdrive and you want to take control of it. So that's how you do it. Anxiety is like non-existent in my life at the moment. And anytime I start to feel it, I have that awareness of like, okay, bitch, you're trying to control something that hasn't even happened. You're freaking out about something that's not even in this moment. Because how much time have we spent and wasted worrying about something in the future? And it doesn't even fucking happen. 9 times out of 10. This was a tactic I use with coaching clients where I say, write down your 10 biggest fears, like the things you worry about. And I want you to hide it for 6 months and then pull that paper out in 6 months and realize what a fool you were for worrying about it. Even if shit does happen, you can't control it. You can't control what's coming. And that's why I want to talk about stoicism today. So that's what we're going to talk about. And then I'm going to give you, because I feel like if you want to be stoic, you really have to work on your inner self, on healing your inner self. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about tips to help you find your inner self. If you are curious about microdosing, shoot me a message at brandonlynette.com. Make sure you're subscribed anyway. Okay. But shoot me a message so we could talk about it. Or you can hit me up on Facebook and just say, I want to know about microdosing. I help people, you know, find their perfect dose. What's right for you. I know where people start. I give you tips and advice on if you've taken too much or too little, and we just narrow it in. And I promise you never start with a dose that's going to be dangerous or make you feel some kind of way. It's such a sweet, subtle experience. Like I still am recognizing things inside myself that have changed that I didn't even realize I've changed until all of a sudden it's in my awareness. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't do that anymore. I'm not doing that. That's amazing. My nervous system has taken such a break. Like, especially I would say the past few weeks, my husband and I have made a shift and I was just telling him like the energy feels so good. My fight or flight has just been chill. Like 100%. There's no, every day I feel like I was up against something, like I was fighting the world. And it's really just, you're fighting yourself. You know, you're fighting yourself. You're worrying about things you can't control. I'm definitely more in the present moment and I'm handling my responsibilities. I'm able to set goals. I'm able to deal with what I want to do in the future and knowing that I'm going to be the person who can say, this is what's going to get me there. I need X, Y, and Z. This is what I have to do every day. Like I'm doing this thing on Facebook where I'm going live every day because if you guys listen to Friday's podcast, you know, I'm struggling with like issues with myself, with how I'm seeing myself. Okay. And that's okay. Everybody does that. I think for some reason I just started hyper-focusing on the things I didn't like, but I'm taking my power back. And I'm doing that because I know the habit of going live every day, getting in front of the camera. Even today I did the photo shoot for my podcast, very uncomfortable. I literally just took my camera upstairs and scrolled through so my husband could pick it. I didn't even look deeply at it because I knew I would pick it apart and judge the fuck out of it. Okay. 100%. I'd be like, nope, I can't do this. And like, I was already blind from the light. I didn't want to keep taking pictures. Fuck that. So that was it. I know the habits I need to keep building my self-esteem to help grow my confidence. I'm doing that. I'm committing to that. I go live for myself every day on Facebook doing dumb shit. Like I do my makeup, I do my nails, whatever. I don't overthink it. And I feel it every day. It's getting easier just to hit that button. Podcast is easy because you guys can't see me. It's easy for me. I don't feel vulnerable or exposed. Like this is my thing. I have a face for radio, I guess. I probably should have got into radio. Because I could talk without being seen like all the time, and I'm happy there. 100%. There's not as much vulnerability, and I'm not staring at the camera to, you know, pick myself apart either. So anyway, bitch, let's jump into talking about what stoicism is and how it's going to help you regulate your emotions if you can focus on this. I know there's a lot of books and research you can do to be able to, you know, figure out if this is for you and read kind of where it came from. I think it originated in Greece, I believe. I'm going to look it up and double check. But and then we'll talk about five tips on how to help you find your inner self. So yeah, I took a quick pause just to look this up, okay? And I'll tell you what I found. Stoicism is an ancient philosophical. I can't read, bitch. Okay. I can't read. I'm still blind from some Lumi lights, from some pictures. It did originate in Greece, which makes sense because I know I learned a lot from, you know, Seneca, and Marcus Aurelius used this a lot. It's actually particularly influential in ancient Rome. And at its core, Stoicism is just a philosophy that teaches, you know, individuals to cultivate wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance. It emphasizes the importance of focusing on what can be controlled and what cannot. Okay. So it's real life. It's not any secret magical, you know, way of being. It's just actually setting your intentions to be directed there. You want to, you know, advocate for living in accordance with nature and rationality. You want to strive for that inner tranquility, maintain emotional equilibrium in the face of everything that's happening to you. You're in the arena, bitch. Okay. Speaking of Rome, you're in the arena. You're getting your ass kicked. That's going to happen. So how are you going to face that? Because I promise you, no matter what, no matter how good you get, how rich you get, how lucky you get, how successful you get, life still comes at you. It still comes at you. And as much as you think so right now, money is not shit, okay? It is not everything. Yes, it helps. Yes, I think you need to be wealthy to be able to do your part as you've been called to. Yes, I think all of that. At the same time, it's not everything. It's not everything. You want to be able to face life in the present moment. You want to face life with a beautiful level of awareness where you're not being reactive. You're not going crazy. The only thing we have control of, and I know that, you know, this is part of Stoicism, is knowing that our thoughts, our actions, and our attitudes are the absolute only thing we have control over. Other people's actions, no bitch, no control. Even though my kids like to say, "You made me, mom, you made me." I'm like, well, why can't I make you clean your room? Why can't I make you stop talking back? If I can make you blow up and overreact, why can't I do the opposite, right? You make me. If you're saying that to people, fuck off. No one's making you, okay? You cannot control other people. And the way you react, that's on you. I've said it myself, like, oh, you're making me so mad. Are they making me mad, or am I just triggered? Am I just mad? And I just found a reason to be expressive with my anger, right? No one makes you. You have to set your boundaries, protect your peace. The highest good is moral virtue. The primary goal in your life should be cultivating your best character traits, your wisdom, your courage, justice, self-discipline, your endurance. Can you handle the hardships? Your resilience. Can you face adversity? Challenges are literally opportunities for growth. Nothing's happening to you. And if you can really understand right now in this moment, shit is happening for you. It is happening for you, not to you. And if you can say that with grace, when you're going through shit, this is happening for me. What's the lesson here? And I've lost my fucking mind. I had a couple of deaths a few weeks ago that it was traumatic. It was very traumatic. I haven't lost someone close like that. And just circumstances with other things. It was tough. And I'm like, why is this happening? I mean, come on, bitch. People die. That's a fact. That's our guarantee. That's the one thing we all have in common. Okay. We don't make it out of here alive. Why am I freaking out? Because I'm human, but nothing was happening to me. I needed to be able to understand that this is life and use this as a lesson of awareness to not take my shit for granted. An awareness of like, I need to hug my friends and tell them I love them more. I need to, you know, be more present with my babies. I need to be a better wife for my husband. All of that wasn't happening to me. It was a way to strengthen my endurance and my, you know, resilience 100%. One thing I don't agree with Stoicism is that they talk about controlling your emotions. Okay. I don't necessarily 100% believe that should be the case. Okay. They're not meant to be controlled. We just don't give them power. All of your emotions start with a thought. Okay. They start with a thought. Every single emotion you have, there's a thought somewhere. And then suddenly you stick a story to it. And then we feel the emotion. It controls you if you become the emotion. If you're reactive, if you just are completely emotional, okay? And if you're avoiding shit, if you avoid shit like anger and fear, it's not disappearing. It's building up inside your body. Emotions are just energy and they need to move and grow and whatever. So whatever emotion you're feeling, it's not about
it. It's about bringing it into your awareness.
If I cut out a little bit there, I recently realized my husband said some of my podcasts were cutting out and I couldn't figure out why. The cord in my Yeti mic is loose. So I actually caught it fast this time. So hopefully I didn't cut out too much. I kicked the cord. Okay. No big deal. I was only in a heated moment of passion talking about, you know, how it's not about controlling our emotions. We literally have to let ourselves feel the emotion. And people get so afraid of that. We're not taught that it's okay to feel the emotion, right? We tell little boys, don't cry. It's okay to cry, but then get up and kick ass like a motherfucker. You know, we don't feel sorry for ourselves. We don't become a victim. We don't become little babies. We don't become snowflakes. We empower ourselves. We learn from whatever that emotion is telling us. Figure out why you're mad. Why are you in a bad mood? Why are you feeling sad? Does your body just need rest? You learn to talk. You connect your brain and your heart. This coherence is everything. Your brain and your heart have to be connected. I promise psilocybin does this for me because it changes the conversations that I'm having in my brain 100%. And another thing that benefits me when it comes to microdosing is that I'm able to witness the emotion. I never avoid it, bitch. I get pissed off like everybody else. I get frustrated like everybody else. I get impatient. I get mad. I get flustered. I get overwhelmed. I get anxious. I get all those things, but I'm learning to be able to see them in my awareness. So I'm not becoming them. I don't become the anxiety. I see it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I see you're feeling anxious. That's because you're worried that so-and-so has to do this and you have to do this and you have to do that. I have to have a hard conversation on Wednesday and I can get anxious about it if I let myself get worked up about it. But then I realize it's not Wednesday yet. I don't have to worry about that. That's Wednesday's problem today. Is all I have to worry about. That's it. And what can I do today so I don't have to stress about anything tomorrow? Right? So what are the things you can do today to set yourself up for tomorrow so you're not an emotionally reactive, responsive freak? You're just calm, right? People ask me all the time. I'm a bartender and our bar gets pretty busy in the summer where I've got a line of server tickets, right? Because it's one bartender making drinks for the entire restaurant, okay? And we get to capacity and we're on a wait. So not only am I making drinks for everybody at a table at capacity, but I'm making drinks for everybody that's at my bar waiting for a table that wants to have a cocktail. Then I've got the people, my regulars at the bar, I've got my own bar tables. So I've got 2 hours of nonstop, like I'm just making drinks. And everyone's like, how do you not panic? Like, you just seem so calm. You seem calm. How is this not freaking you out? And I'm like, because what's the point? what the fuck if I freak out? What does that change? It actually slows me down. If I take the time and energy to stress out, then I could have made like 10 drinks in that, you know, tantrum, literally. So I just go with it. And yeah, are there people that get pissed off and leave? Fuck yeah. But is that my problem? No. Anyone that's patient absolutely gets my attention 100%. They get the eye contact. They get care. They get their, you know, drinks until they're satisfied, whatever they needed for their family, their table, whatever it is they need. I meet everything I possibly can and I send them on their way and I go to the next person and I let them know they're human. They're not just a number. Everybody gets that connection with me. And it could be a lot, but that's what happens. If you wait, it's worth it. If you don't, that's okay too. Me freaking out does nothing for that. Nothing. My kids, there's 100 of them talking at once. And I see my husband. And he's like, what the fuck? His head is like about to explode because he can't take it. And it doesn't bother me. Like, what's the point of freaking out? They're going to continue to just do whatever. So let them. I learned to like compartmentalize stuff. Like, I'm going to put this here. Let's prioritize the conversation or whatever it is. Okay. But for the most part, I really do think stoicism is a really great school of thought, for sure. It's not about controlling anything except your thoughts, your actions, your attitudes. It's about regularly reflecting on your thoughts, your emotions, your actions, constantly work on identifying areas you can improve so you can work on them. And I tell people all the time, you got to keep a journal. A journal changes everything. Like it, just even when I write some stuff down, I've had some pretty rough thoughts, you know, about myself. I write it down. I'm like, this isn't serving you. What if you start focusing on this thought instead? And I rewrite that thought. I copy it down a few times. And then that's my new thought for the week. That's it. I used to say all the time, there's not enough time in the day. There's not enough time in the day. Guess what? There was never enough time in the day. Now I'm just like, shit, I have all the time in the world. And then sometimes I do so much and I'm here in this moment. I'm like, wow, where did the time go? It's incredible. It's whatever I want it to be. 100%. Practice that resilience. Focus on what peace is to you. What is your role in the universe? You and God made a plan. Get back to the core of that. Align your desires and actions with that. Focus on the greater good. What is the best thing for your family, for your community, for your city, for your state, for your country? All of that matters, you guys. You fucking matter. You matter. You're important. You are a piece of the thread that makes the entire fabric of what Earth is. Nobody wants a loose thread. We've got to come together. You get your shit together so we can come together. Life is not about filling up those excessive desires and attachment to material shit. That stuff doesn't matter. I'm serious. Now that I have these naked babies, like I told Benjamin the other day, like my life is complete. Our family is complete. I'm good. I never thought I would ever be okay with never having babies. And, you know, if Benjamin ever ends up dead, it's because that man got me pregnant. Okay. He's still not snipped, you guys. I feel like, you know, he's really flirting with fire there because I'm a young, fertile cat here, you know. He's flirting with fire, but literally I'm full. There isn't anything I could want. And, you know, I have my dream motorcycle. Like I love the beasts. Like we got to take them out today and it was so fucking gorgeous. Tomorrow is another riding day. I'm excited. We're going to soak them up as much as we can before snow tries to flirt with Michigan, but I have everything I could ever want. I love that feeling. I love that feeling of completion, but then I still have goals. Like, bitch, I want us in a bigger house for sure. I absolutely am grateful for where we live, but I could be grateful for where we live and happy and content and still want more. 100%. That's okay. I want you guys to learn to seek your own knowledge from things, from places, from people, okay? This is a process. You're going to fuck up. It's not about eliminating emotions, okay? But I feel like, you know, embrace them. Give them their little time to do what they need to do. They're just like little kids that just kind of need that attention for a minute, okay? You're mad, be mad for a minute. Take a step back. Don't hurt anybody in the process. Get to yourself. Gather your shit. And that's it. I know it's easy to like feel lost and not even know who you are anymore. A lot of people feel like that. None of this matters if you're not willing to find yourself. So how do you find yourself? Let's jump into these five tips really fast. I feel like this podcast is already really super long. Identify your passions and then focus on that. When you know what you're passionate about, it's easier to find direction and purpose 100%. If you're not sure what they are, then it's time you start exploring different activities and interests, okay? You want to find your passion, you have to ask yourself what you enjoy doing. Like, I like talking on a podcast. I like that. So I started another one. Let's go, bitch. What makes you feel fulfilled? What topics get your attention? What do you love to talk about? I think that's a big deal. Like, what can you talk about forever? I love talking about all the things my husband and I talk about. So that's what my podcast is going to be, pretty much about everything we talk about. When you identify the passions, you want to focus on them every day. Okay. That means working on a hobby, you know, getting out that creative passion, doing it however you see fit, taking steps to achieve the goal, small achievable goals to understand your passions. And this boosts your self-confidence. Okay. You guys are literally seeing me go through that process. If you follow me on Facebook every day, you just do something that's going to boost that confidence and you keep doing it. It gets easier and you get better every day. Do something that you enjoy. When's the last time you literally had fun? Life is about play. Y'all are taking it too serious. Like, you're overthinking it big time. Okay. Go have fun, relax, recharge. If you're constantly on the go, you're going to burn out. You have to have some you time, 100%. Maybe you need to, you know, set some time aside, escape from everyone and read, listen to music. That's my husband's thing. That's his thing. That's his thing. Maybe you need to take a bath. Maybe you need to go out in nature. Taking care of yourself is vital if you're looking to find your inner self, 100%. Identify the things that make you feel good and make time for that. I feel like nature, that's a big one. You've got to connect with nature, 100%. I feel like that's the place where we really connect the most to our inner thoughts and our emotions. Like, go for the walk in the park. I literally go outside and I sit on the porch. I sit on the front porch and I'm just like, thank you. Thank you. Spending time outdoors, it kind of gives you perspective in your life because the world is big. I love Lake Michigan. I go there and like everything just kind of dissipates into the water, 100%. You relax, your mind is clear. And every day you should be going outside, even if it's just for a few minutes, okay? Go for a walk, even if it's in your backyard, or take a hike, go in the woods. This shit makes you feel more connected, 100%. Not just with nature, not just with the planet, not just with God, but actually with you, you with you. This is where you connect to your inner thoughts and emotions. It benefits you physically, mentally, emotionally, all of that. Another thing that has helped me find out who I am and to really focus on my inner self is to be with the people that make me happy. Like, my husband regulates my nervous system 100%. So I love to be with him. I love to, like, you know, I don't go a day without hugging him. I relax into that. I'm at ease. Like, there is peace in that. It's healing. I hang out with the kids. Like, my favorite time with them is probably devotions. Like, I love seeing them engage and interact in something that means a lot to me, you know? And it's a great review for the Bible. I've read it a couple times and I learn something every time I go through it and I see it in a different perspective. I'm in a different season in my life. I'm a little more mature. So it's fun to see where my perspective is now and my interpretation versus the conversation I'm having with my kids. And I love watching them grow through their own interpretations. I never expect them to have the same viewpoints as I do, but it's fun to see how they're all different with their personalities. It's fun. You've got to be around people. Like, find people that are supportive, positive, people that make you laugh. Do what is fun. And 100%, okay? My pets are huge healers for me, okay? These naked cats I have, like, brought out a side of me I didn't even know could really exist. Like, there is just something about them and my love for them. All of the pets, really, both dogs have a different sense of something for me. Like, I love all of them, and it definitely brings support in my life. And then you really want to, the last step is really going to be, you know, letting go of those negative thoughts. You want to cultivate that positive attitude. This is how you find your inner self. And it's going to be hard if you're always on the negative. Okay. So keep the journal, rewrite the thoughts, think about the things that make you happy. Okay. Try positive affirmations, and it's got to be something you believe, right? And these affirmations have to be followed up with habits, or they're not real. I want to make that very, very clear, okay? Positive affirmations have helped me, but that's because I work really hard to make them something that are part of my everyday habit, okay? How do you make this present moment meaningful for you? What is good about this moment? So lock in these tips, save this podcast in case you need to re-listen. I don't want you to give up on yourself, okay? You've got to believe that you are worthy and able to find happiness and inner peace, 100%, okay? I love you, bitches. Let's slay this week.